Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football, live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. Coming up at the top of the hour, six-time Pro Bowl quarterback Donovan McNabb, who played in Philadelphia, Washington, and also Minnesota, is going to stop by. But first up, without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's start things off with the game tonight. Steelers and Browns. Sorry, this is going to be a snooze fest tonight. I don't have high expectations for this game, if you can't tell. Mitch Trubisky says he's not afraid to make mistakes.
I do think about protecting the football and being smart and making good decisions. I'm not worried about mistakes. Those happen. But as an offense, we just got to score more points. So however we do that, that's got to be our mindset, scoring more points.
Ryan, when you have someone whose back is up against the wall, now getting another opportunity, and no one expects that opportunity is really going to last that long, and people don't believe that he's the long-term franchise quarterback or will even make it until October as the starting quarterback. May not even make it until the end of the month, because I think the Jets, with that game upcoming, he is going to be the starting quarterback in Kenny Pickett, and they're going to say goodbye to Trubisky after this and make him the backup. You would think, though, that he would be aggressive. Maybe Matt Canada would be a little bit more aggressive, and you just would let it rip. You got nothing to lose if you're Mitch Trubisky. The narrative's already out there that you're a bust. You failed in Chicago. I know you had this 1 year where you learned everything from Josh Allen, but it's not like you have people believing in you. So I would like to see Mitch be a little bit more aggressive.
I'm with you, right? Playing conservative is not going to keep him as a starter much longer.
Well, actually, let me be real. I don't want to see Mitch throw another pass in the league as a starting quarterback.
That's been well documented.
Yeah, I think people have been able to understand that now. Let's hear one more from Mitch Trubisky. He says he's going to try to take more deep shots.
I could take more opportunities down the field, and that's where we can get our playmakers football. So I think better decision making and then just taking those opportunities for sure.
Let's listen to, in my opinion, the most entertaining coach in the NFL, Mike Tomlin. I just love when he speaks. And I know that some may say it's Mike McDaniel. When you get to entertaining coaches in the NFL, I'm always just a big-time fan whenever Mike Tomlin speaks to the media. Mike McDaniel has to be up there because sometimes just the McDaniel have no clue what the heck he's saying, but so far it's worked for him. They're 2-0, the Miami Dolphins, big game this weekend against the Bills. Another coach that you find very entertaining there, hot take hickey with
Dan
the media.
Dan Campbell is funny.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know what I love? It just cracks you up, doesn't mean to be funny. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Your guy, just he's too funny.
Yeah, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to get a lot of money. He's removed any doubt that people have had. And if you don't believe me, just wait till you see the contract that he gets next.
You see that Belichick quote?
I did. That was the nicest thing he's ever talked about, or at least the biggest smile, I should say, I've ever seen from him talking about someone else.
You all right there?
It's a burp. Sorry. Trying to work my way back.
You and Dan Orlovsky hanging out recently? Burping and then farting?
You ever get to the bottom of that, by the way? That's fake, right? Or from his mouth, I should say.
Well, I think there's two theories here. One, he sneezed and then farted, which I think is plausible. You're looking at me like I have 9,000 heads. It sounds like there's a sneeze somewhere in there, and then he farts. That's when he had the tongue twister. Or the other theory is he had a little tongue twister, and then with his mouth made the noise.
Yeah. Like, oh, like, look at me, like, can't even get my words together. Let me restart.
I actually thought it was a sneeze into a fart. But then I heard Chris Long, and I think it was Bo Allen, too. And Bo Allen probably knows a thing or two about letting one rip. Because he looks like a guy that would fart in a lot of public places. And we know Chris Long has been around this league for a very long time. They made a great point that the fart or the alleged fart sounds so clear. And Dan Orlovsky is a very tall man. I think they said he's 6'6", 6'7". And I know Dan. I've been around Dan. He is a tall, skinny dude. If that was a fart, the audio is too clear that your microphone is on your shirt. It's not down low near your bottom. So maybe that was more so of a just verbally instead of coming out of his rear, let's just say. Is that where you're at right now as well?
That's exactly what it sounded like. One of those, you know, moment, tongue twister, let me start over sort of things.
Is that what we should start doing now? Hey, it's the Zach Gilb show.
Restart. Bang, bang.
Hey, hot take, Hickey. The Colts are off to a...
Well, that would be appropriate. So, you know.
If Chernoff was still here, you know what Chernoff would say right now. Enough with the fart jokes, okay? We don't need 5 minutes on the radio of you guys making fart sounds of just like... Anyway, let's hear from Mike Tomlin. He says the key on offense is slowing down the Browns' pass rush.
It starts with not allowing Myles Garrett and 90 to wreck the game. You know, they got formidable edge guys. They wreak a lot of havoc. They're capable of changing the game at any moment.
Isn't Jadeveon clowning out for tonight?
Yes.
So why is he talking about number 90? Wasn't that well known, like, early in the week that he was not going to play in this game?
I think it was officially yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know if Tomlin, you know Mike Tomlin never goes any assumptions.
Gotcha.
Still kind of getting ready for any what sort of, you know, could be thrown at him.
Yeah, you don't assume if you're Mike Tomlin.
No.
He's a guy who doesn't like to make an ass out of you and me. I love Tomlin. Anytime when I'm hosting Eye on Football, each and every Sunday from 12 to 8 p.m. Eastern, whenever they say, oh, we have Mike Tomlin audio, I go play the whole press conference. Sign me up to just listen to Mike Tomlin. That gives me like a little extra pick-me-up and makes me feel good and just makes me feel motivated. He would be a great life coach. He's a great coach. He'd be a great life coach, though. There's some football coaches that are not great life coaches. Mike Tomlin would be a great life coach. And I've said this before. If let's just say I was to pass away in the near future and I wanted one football coach to give me a eulogy, it would be Mike Tomlin. I think he would give a great eulogy at a funeral there, hot take, Hickey.
Trying to think. He'd be very direct. He'd give you a lot of...
good cliches, good sayings. Would play to the room well.
Stern voice, too, which is kind of nice. You know, kind of makes you stronger as a man when you hear a strong man talking about you.
I think Belichick also would give a good one. Because, you know, there'd be so much history there.
You know, here lies Zach Gelb. You know, was a great man. Grew up in Long Island in New York. And, you know, went to Temple. And then did some show. And, you know, I never listened to it through Snapface or InstaChat. And but I'm told he did a very good show on CBS Sports Radio. Comes from a great family. Loved the New England Patriots. And, you know, just was a great man.
I could see Belichick actually giving a good eulogy. It'd be monotone, which is a good tone for a funeral. Somber kind of tone, but I think he'd be very extensive.
I don't need him reading a resume, though.
Oh.
That's what I think he would do.
And there was this one time that Zach ran around the house because he was very excited when Malcolm Butler picked off the football and the Patriots won the Super Bowl. And, you know, the athleticism that he displayed when he jumped off the couch to then tackle his cousin in that moment of elation was... one of the greatest athletic achievements I've ever seen.
You know who would not give a good eulogy at a funeral?
Kyle Shanahan?
Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, well.
That guy, he sounds as if he was just shot out of a cannon every time he speaks.
Motor mouth.
Oh, he doesn't. He speaks so quickly, and I speak quickly. I've never heard someone speak faster than Nathaniel Hackett. He would be a great, like, NASCAR reporter. When you have all the cars buzzing around. All right, I'm here in the pit, and we got this car right here, and he's making a tire change, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the way Nathaniel Hackett sounds when he speaks.
Like a Kentucky Derby announcer.
Yeah, like Larry Kalmus.
Yes.
And they're off and running.
Does a great job.
Yeah. I bet you Frank Reich would mess up a good speech, though. He messes up everything these days.
That is so unnecessary.
Kevin Stefanski says the Steelers wide receivers pose a tough challenge.
It's an impressive group. Think about the guys that they have on the outside that can beat you with speed and size. They have guys that can win on the inside with speed and savviness. So they really have multiple ways to beat you with their weapons and how they can align them. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready for what I think is a really potent attack.
That's my favorite part leading up to a football game. When the opposing team coach is just really hyping up an opposing team. Now, the Steelers have good wide receivers. Like, Deontay Johnson's good. Chase Claypool is good. They have to use George Pickens more. But it's not as if you walk into that game saying, wow, we're going up against Justin Jefferson. Or, wow, this is Stephon Diggs. Or Tyreek Hill. The Steelers have good wide receivers and guys that put up good numbers. But no one that you're losing sleep over at night. In preparation for, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm not very high on the Steelers wide receiving core. But, hey, look, Kevin Stefanski can't take any assumptions. That Jets wide receiving core was not very good last week, and they scorched that Browns secondary.
Well, Garrett Wilson was very good.
Good receiver, rookie, second game ever.
I think he's going to be a really good player, Garrett Wilson. You know who's also looking awesome right now? Drake London.
He is.
Drake London looks like a stud. Let's go to Sean Payton. This is via New Orleans football podcast on if he would return to coaching next season.
I really enjoy what I'm doing right now, and more maybe than I thought. If the right situation presented itself, Mike, I would definitely be interested in. And there's no utopia, if you will, when it comes to teams. But you know, if I felt like it was the right situation, I would have an interest in that. That all being said. You know, that could come in a year. That could come in 2 years.
Yeah, he's going to be back coaching next year. Is there a safer bet right now? And I don't know what the number is than predicting that Sean Payton is going to be back on the NFL sideline next year, Ryan.
Is there a safer bet?
Like, if I'm trying to predict someone that's not in the NFL right now that will be in the NFL next year, outside of like a college kid going to the draft or something, like Sean Payton's going to be back on the NFL sideline.
Yeah, he's already missing it. Which is surprising 2 weeks in.
Denver, he'll be rooting for to lose. Chargers, he'll be rooting for to lose.
They agree with some good spots.
Could always go to the Cowboys. That's been a job that he's always linked to. Let's hear one more from the football coach, Sean Payton. I'm not going to call him an analyst. The guy still wants to be a football coach. And what he's looking for in his next team.
I think the most important element is just, you know, functional ownership, front office, you know, just the leadership spots have to be, you know, because there's a handful of teams that aren't, and those teams, regardless of what takes place, you know, they can win on Sunday, but they have trouble winning long term. And so just the opportunity to win consistently and the willingness to build the correct culture and all of those things.
If we had to make three teams as the favorite right now to land Sean Payton for next year, Denver and Dallas have to be on that list, Ryan.
Are we sure about Dallas?
In terms of what?
I mean, you hear what you just said? Functional ownership. He wants actual, you know,
but he has
competency.
A relationship with Jerry Jones.
We just played Jerry Jones 20 minutes ago talking about how he wants a quarterback competition and wants Dak Prescott maybe never play for him again. Like, if you're Sean Payton, do you really want to work under Jerry Jones?
Me personally, I would say no. But Sean Payton? Yeah, I think he does because he's been in that organization before when Parcells was there. And I think, this is just me thinking here, that Sean says, okay, Jerry kind of let Bill do the, like, operate the organization the way that he wanted to. I then think when you are someone of the caliber and quality of coach that Sean is, not that he's Bill Parcells, that he's expecting that same treatment from Jerry Jones. And that would be a little bit naive if I'm Sean, but they have they've been linked for years. And I forget what it was, but I remember we talked about this over the summer. There was some report that a deal like almost got done like years ago or something. There was interest like years ago, and they thought that was going to get done, and then it just never came to fruition.
If you're sure, can Jerry Jones, is he actually capable of taking a step back?
No.
I would agree. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He's in too deep now.
It's like James Dolan a little bit when Phil Jackson came in. He allowed Phil to operate, but then ego took over. Now, he had reasons to go remove Phil Jackson, as he should have.
Yes.
But when you think that you're the man, and remember, Jerry Jones in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and then you see your organization after 2 years not go the way that you want, let's say if they hire Sean, then your ego starts to take over and go, okay, now I have to step in. And that's when Sean probably says, peace, I'm out, I'm done. So I would say the Cowboys. I would say the Broncos. Who else is in the running? Carolina? Dave Tepper? But that organization doesn't have much.
I was just going to say.
A quarterback. You don't got a quarterback in Carolina.
He's made it clear he wants to go somewhere with an established quarterback, which that's going to make Carolina tough unless they pull off a big trade, you know, early in the offseason. I mean, we're talking about Frank Reich's job. But that's another quarterback hell.
Yeah, if I'm Sean Payton, I would tell Jim Irsay to go bleep himself if he offered me the job. You got no quarterback.
If you really think about it, there's really not that many landing spots.
I think the three that I'm thinking of, Dallas, and then you hope that Denver and the Chargers make a move.
I guess you hope Kevin Stefanski somehow gets fired, but I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, if you recall, there was a report when the Saints were going after Deshaun Watson where it said that if Sean Payton was still there, they would not explore Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't know what it is. Is it because of the off-the-field stuff? Is Deshaun not like Deshaun Watson in terms of the style of play? Deshaun may be a bad dude. There's no doubt about that. But on the field, the guy is a great quarterback. So maybe he wouldn't go to Cleveland. And if we're talking about competent organizations and competent ownership, Cleveland does not really inspire much optimism, even though they have a good roster in the way that football organization is run. But they made some big moves in the past. Holmgren went there for a little bit.
Can I throw a wild, wild, wild card at you? Now we're just getting nuts. If you are Sean Payton, do you root for a Cardinals demise?
Ooh. But even if they have a demise this year, they just extended Cliff.
They're not
getting rid of Cliff.
I'm just asking.
Whoa! Was that an Orlovsky fart from Hickey?
It was a cough. I'm still working my way back. I'm sorry.
Wow. Maybe you should have took today off as well. I think you should have took today off as well.
Well, I'm trying to push through. 2 days I thought was enough.
Trying to push through.
I still got to get my, my on-air voice back, I guess. I'm out of shape.
Can we have an honest conversation here?
Sure.
Kind of a bad look yesterday when you're doing the Colts podcast and releasing Colts podcasting, but you're not showing up for your Monday through Friday gig. Seems like that voice was okay when you're talking Colts, but
it wasn't the
not
voice.
Showing up
I mean,
here.
If I was coughing, you want me around when I was coughing?
I don't know. You do the Colts podcast, you were fine. Do the Colts podcast.
It was in my apartment. Confined to myself and my germs.
You're really not feeling that well, though. I think you skip out on doing the Colts podcast for that day.
I skipped out on the one day. Push it back a day.
Yeah, but then you just did it on Wednesday. I don't know.
I think I saved you the germs.
I think there was a lot of talk here. Not I think, I know. There was a lot of talk here yesterday where multiple people came up to me and said, bad luck by Ryan doing the Colts podcast and not showing up to work.
And what, do you want me to prove I'm sick? Like, you hear me coughing. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to show up when I'm sick then? I'll show up when I'm coughing and mucusy. That's no problem.
I think you're kind of like Zoolander right now. We had a little overload in terms of work, in terms of being a football fan. Colts disappointed you. You go to Auburn, didn't get much sleep. Penn State wins. And the last 2 days, you're like, Pop, I got the black lung. That's what I think you're acting like right now. I don't think you're actually sick. I just think you're a little bit run down and your feelings are a little bit hurt because your football team sucks.
Do you think I went into a coal mine on purpose yesterday?
Potentially.
Did I have a little cough? I don't know where the nearest coal mine is here in New York City, but maybe West Virginia. I guess I could drive down there.
Maybe one of our bosses, which eliminates it to about 8,000, may have came up to me yesterday and said, Hickey doesn't really sound all that sick when he does his Colts podcast. Could have came into work today.
Wow.
And by the way, when you now call out, I need you to make demands. I need you to demand that Jack Stern never produces this show again.
You need me to make demands, okay?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be the bad guy. But so I need you to say, Jack's just not qualified to produce the show right now.
Hey, I'm calling out. By the way.
Now, he could run the board, but I need to take 15 aspirin after the show yesterday.
Oof.
That was like a hamster in a wheel, just running around. Or like a young little puppy dog, just running around the house and then peeing all over the floor.
So you're hosting a show and sort of babysitting.
Oh. That was tough yesterday.
Fun.
There's some days I show up here and I go, yeah, I earned my paycheck. Yesterday, I showed up here and I said, they need to pay me more. And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Aaron Judge is up against the Boston Red Sox right now. He has 60 home runs on the season. If he hits a home run here, that will tie an AL record for most home runs in a single season. The 61 by Roger Maris needs two more to break that record. And I got into this conversation yesterday, Ryan, and you weren't here, so I'm curious what your thoughts are. I don't know how to feel about this. Now, it's so damn impressive that Aaron Judge has hit 60 home runs in a season, so you could appreciate that. And I like Aaron Judge because he's one of those stars in Major League Baseball that is marketed properly, and everyone knows about him, and you just look at him, and it's basically this large dude at the plate, and it's kind of someone that resembles a video game character with the moonshot home runs that he does hit, and he also has a really good glove. I love everything about Aaron Judge. when it just comes to the individual and the way that he plays the game and the way that he is marketed. He's one of the faces of Major League Baseball. He just walks, he won't have the home run here. But not that I'm undermining the AL record, but then you look at who has the most home runs in a single season, and that's Barry Bonds at 73. Now, we know that Barry Bonds did not do that in a clean fashion, and there's no reason to suspect that Aaron Judge is on something right now. So in one way, I could appreciate it, but I don't feel like nationally there's a lot of buzz around this, and maybe this is more of a local story with the Maris connection, with the Yankees, and that being more of a New York story than it is a national story, because there will be some people that say the most home runs in a single season is Roger Maris with 61, but then there's going to be people like you and I who grew up in the steroid era and liked the baseball that we actually saw in that era, even though we know that players weren't operating in a clean way, that will say, yeah, but Barry Bonds has the most home runs in a single season. So there's a lot of conflicting feelings here, I'll say.
Yeah, I would say it's more local just because, like you said, I feel like anytime now we're talking about the chase, it's more about Roger Maris's 61. And I haven't personally at least heard a lot of people referencing that before this run, right? Before Aaron Judge really, you know, had a realistic shot at the record. I've not heard many people actually reference Roger Maris as like the single season home run champ. You know, before, like, it's always been Barry Bonds' number, but I never really heard anyone say,
well, go
oh,
talk
61.
To someone that's 70 and well, someone that can't stand the steroid era and the people that cheated the game. Like, there's people that don't say Barry Bonds is the all-time home run king, and it's still Hank Aaron. Because of Barry Bonds and what he took. And if you want to say that the record is still the amount of home runs that Hank Aaron hit, you're allowed to do that. But when you go to the record book, Barry Bonds has had the most home runs in the history of baseball, but it does come with that caveat that, yeah, Barry Bonds used steroids. You know,
which is fine. I think it's the only way to kind of have it both ways.
Not that I'm calling Ack old here, but Ack has seen a lot more baseball than we have, and that's just a fact. I'm 28, Hickey's 28, Ack, what are you?
29.
50?
29.
50?
29.
50?
Plus 25.
So, however old Dak is, I've seen. Did you recently celebrate your 50th birthday at Peter Luger?
I was 4 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It shows you that I have no sense of time. Like on the radio, if I say, "Oh, it happened like 2 weeks ago," there's probably a better chance it happened longer than two years ago. So, Dak is 54. Do you view Barry Bonds as the all-time home run king?
No.
So you view Hank Aaron?
Yep, absolutely.
So when it comes to this record, if Aaron Judge hits 62 home runs, he will have then the most home runs in your eyes in a single season?
Yeah. You know, I would have been okay if Barry Bonds did it before the age of 34. You look at Barry Bonds had a terrific career, make no mistake about it. But from 35 on, as the others, you know, McGuire, Sosa, yada, yada, started putting up, you know, historic numbers, suddenly, Barry Bonds kind of felt like, wait a second, these guys are doing something. I'm going to do it too. And you just look at those numbers post-35, and it's like, something's not right there.
You know? Where are you at when it comes to the Hall of Fame?
It's tough. I
think we should put all the steroid guys in.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because you don't know who did what when. But I think he's a Hall of Famer just because his pre-steroid days, he was a Hall of Famer.
How about Roger Clemens?
I'm still with that, too. You know, Roger Clemens started wearing down at 32 before the uptick again, but I think he's in that same category.
See, and here's, for a while, I said, put them all in. And then you see Bud Selig get in, who oversaw baseball at that time. You've seen the managers get in, Torrey, La Russa, Bobby Cox. There's no consistency here. And I know there's really no guidelines on what to do with these steroid guys. I think it just comes down to the members of the media like you, and that to me is not the way that the Hall of Fame should be run, because you look at Piazza.
Yeah,
Piazza had to wait a few years, but Ivan Rodriguez got in his first try, and he was once asked, did you use steroids? And he goes, only God knows the answer to
that. That's,
that's a yes.
Yeah. Well, I talked with one guy who had a vote.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't vote anymore?
And I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm assuming he does. But he was of the opinion that everybody had something going on at some point that could raise a question. You know, if it wasn't steroids, it was greenies.
Yeah.
So, you know, where do you draw the line? I have a big problem. The hard part too with Bonds and Clemens, where they were so defiant about what they did, and that leaves a bad taste for me. But again, I think it's a very difficult thing because, again, you know, who's to say there are guys who were either already elected to the Hall of Fame or going to be up for it in a couple of years that we don't know if they did it or not.
And I'm not saying you have to like these guys.
No.
Like, I hate Roger Clemens. And yeah. I don't say I hate a lot of people, but I can't stand Roger Clemens. He's my least favorite athlete of all time. I also think he should be in the Hall of Fame. It just comes down to me. Yes, the numbers may not be viewed as authentic, but they still put him up. They allowed this to go on, so that's why I would put those guys in.
And you could also say it wasn't illegal at the time.
Yeah, that's true as well. So I once had a conversation with Reggie Jackson when I was working at 920 The Jersey, which was my first job out of college, and we were talking about this. And I said, I would put all the steroid guys in. You're a Hall of Famer. What do you think about that? And he said, let me ask you a question. Would you put, and he originally said no, but then he said, would you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Not to do like, this is some of the radio that I hate the most. Is Pete Rose a Hall of Famer? 855-212-4CBS. And I said, yeah, I would put him in. Because you could wonder, when did he actually gamble? But regardless, his numbers are the numbers for what he did on the baseball field.
Yeah.
So even if he was throwing money down at the time, it's a cardinal sin I get in the sport. But I don't care. He has the most hits in the history of baseball. If you want to acknowledge it or not, Barry Bonds, in the record books, has the most home runs in the history of baseball. We know all the Cy Youngs Roger Clemens did win. The goal of me for the Hall of Fame is to acknowledge the history of the game. And if you want to tell the story that this guy did this and this guy did that, but he also cheated, then I'm fine with that. And that's why I think they should be in. And then Reggie Jackson responded, well, if you put Pete Rose in, then I think, yeah, the steroid guy should get in as well.
Reggie was an interesting guy because he's a Hall of Famer. And it's funny, you look at Reggie's body, and Reggie was considered a big guy at the time. And now you put him up next to Aaron Judge, and he looks he looks like me standing next to you. but here's the rub.
Michael Orr.
Yeah, here's the rub though, and I don't know where this sentiment lies with voters, but let's just say you talk to the family of Jackie Robinson and all that he went through to make it to where he was, and obviously the Hall of Fame, and then you're going to put in Barry Bonds. It kind of hurts a little. You could talk about Hank Aaron's another one. These guys who had to endure a lot because of racism, who couldn't even get into the major leagues. You know, the Satchel Paige's for a long, long time. You know, that's a very difficult question. I think some of the voters have to ask themselves how do they feel about it. Some probably don't feel a thing about it. Some may say, you know what, it's really hard. I can't do that.
I'm not moving past the point that you just made, but the way that I look at the Hall of Fame, it's did you put up the numbers or not?
It's fair. I mean, you know, it's certainly, you know, that's certainly the, you know, the most prevalent argument, I think.
Yeah.
The point I just made, I think, brings up the shades of gray.
Okay. So. Real quickly. So this to you, the Aaron Judge situation, do you think it's nationally a huge deal, or is it so hairy because you have Bonds that has the most home runs in a season, then it's okay, AL versus NL with him potentially, and when he does it, break the AL record. And then some people like you are going to say Maris is the real home run king for a single season, and then it would be Judge in your mind.
I don't think this strikes as much of a chord nationally because we've already had the McGuire and Sosa chase and subsequent record, and then Bonds broke that. So I think, again, it gets to a point where I think the people who don't want to acknowledge those records get into this. I think it's a great season and a great accomplishment in any way you look at it. But I think I think you know, you kind of get tired a little. Maybe that's an unfair way to put it. But you know, it hasn't happened in a couple of years since Bonds did it. But I just think when you have those numbers already out there, I think it's kind of hard to really embrace it the same way you did for Bonds and Sosa and McGuire, and then Bonds.
I also think too, what is something that's not being talked about enough here, but it just shows the current state of the game. It does feel like it's home run or strikeout. Everyone's talking about the home run. And this dude Judge right now is on pace with two weeks left of the season to go win the Triple Crown as well.
Yeah.
And that's the part, like he hits a double last night, and the whole building is like, oh, I wanted to see a home run.
Very funny.
But that also does help the batting average in the chase for the Triple Crown. So a lot of conflicting thoughts here when it comes to this Aaron Judge home run chase. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a little proper reaction or overreaction when we come on back.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
That's how in sync we're becoming, Hot Take Hickey. It's almost as if you knew earlier today when I was working out and on the elliptical for an hour that I had my Bruce Springsteen playlist on today. Today was a Bruce day. Sometimes I mix it up. We'll go EDM. But after last night, Jack Stern playing 9,000 EDM rejoins, I did not want to hear EDM today. There's other times I will go rap, then I will go Bruce Springsteen. Could go all over the place. You never know. Like maybe some Cat Stevens someday. I go all over the place when it comes to music. Like if I go shuffle on my phone for music, you have no clue what songs it'll come on. But today I did shuffle on the Bruce Springsteen playlist. And a nice little touch there, you coming back with the boss. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a little NFL music, por favor. 2 weeks through the season, week 3 starts tonight with the Browns hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will do a little overreaction or proper reaction right now. Hot Take Hickey, take it away.
Week 3 starts, Steelers-Browns tonight, Zach. Will
I just
be...
said that.
Right. Right, so that's where we're starting now.
What, are you repeating me?
No,
this is
just...
a repeat after me song. This is a do what I do song.
I'll keep it short and sweet then. This will be Mitch Trubisky's final start with the Steelers. Overreaction or proper reaction?
Proper reaction. Kenny Pickett started next week. Steelers up against the Jets. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Week 3 will feature an 0-2 Titans team taking on an 0-2 Raiders team.
Oof.
Both obviously need this win in the worst way. But this game is more of a must-win for the Titans rather than the Raiders. Is that an overreaction or proper reaction?
That is an overreaction because the AFC South, regardless if Tennessee wins or loses here, still sucks. In first place are the Jacksonville Jaguars at 1-1. You can forget about the Texans. I know they're 0-1-1. Even if they win this week, no one will take the Texans seriously. So they're not a good football team. Your Colts are 0-1-1. So even if Tennessee falls to 0-3, you're digging yourselves into a hole. But anyone could climb out of that hole in a bad AFC South. And the AFC West, you start the year off 0-3. Not only are you donezo in the division, you're donezo in the conference. Because you're not going to win the division, and I don't think you're in a wild card spot if you start the year off 0-3 in what is a much better conference, the AFC, compared to the NFC.
Tua Tagovailoa has gotten off to a great start so far this year. He leads the NFL with 739 passing yards, tied for first with 7 touchdown passes. overreaction or proper reaction, Tua Tagovailoa has been the best quarterback through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Overreaction. I know he was great in that fourth quarter with the four touchdown passes, but so far through the first two games of the season, Josh Allen and then also Patrick Mahomes have been the two best quarterbacks of the NFL, in my opinion.
The Nathaniel Hackett-Russell Wilson era has not gone well so far for Denver, to say the least.
Say that again, mister. Russell Wilson's going to win the Super Bowl this year. Russell Wilson's going to win Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, and Nathaniel Hackett's going to be coach of the year. All the takes that you had leading up to this season, hot take, Hickey.
And all so far have not gone according to plan. They're 1-1 on the year.
Now, real quickly, I got to be fair, because if I could give out the shots, I have to be able to take the shots as well. I don't know if I could clown you that much with your NFL predictions, because my picks, when I do the picks on the DA show and then also on this show with Jersey Jerry, I've gotten off to the worst start that I've ever got off to in picking games. I'm 0-6 against the spread on this show and DA show in picking games. So I need to be better, and maybe I should speak some good karma into existence and stop clowning you on the Broncos and then just realize I need good karma all around so then I get some back and some good vibes all around so I get some good karma back and then maybe my picks could turn around this year.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to do. You remember last year when you killed Gus? Like,
yeah.
Dang, that's...
I was 13 games over 500 last year.
Comes back to get you.
And that was my big fear about... It's all about timing. You know, I'm kind of like a franchise quarterback that goes to Chicago or goes to a bad situation like the Jets. I'm not set up to succeed. Coming off that great year, then picking my spot when getting the offer to do DA's show, I hate to sound like a man of excuses here because that's not the way that I was raised, but I'm put in a bad position this year because the law of averages in the gambling world just equal that I'm going to have a miserable year picking games this year. But luckily, Mraz has left the door open and he's only two games up on me. It's not like he's been Mr. Clairvoyant picking games left and right and all he does is give you winners. He's only giving you two victories and one of them, was that Dolphins game last week that was one of the greatest covers that you'll ever get with how that game was over in the fourth quarter and the Dolphins come back and find the way to win the game. But anyway, I'm going to be more positive now. I'm going to be nice to you for the rest of the week here because I need my picks to turn around.
Well, week's almost over, so very convenient. But anyway.
Hold on. You weren't here Tuesday and Wednesday. I wasn't mean to you Tuesday and Wednesday. You weren't here.
It's convenient. Give me that on Thursday.
I checked up on you. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? You feeling well? Do you need me to go get you some soup? I checked up on you. Made sure that you were okay. How you feeling? Good, good, good.
I would have got an offer for you. If you gave me an offer for soup, I would have took you up on it.
What do you mean? I called you. I said, do you need any soup?
I didn't get any call. Maybe you called another Ryan. You called your other producer from another show back in the day?
Oh, maybe I called my cousin Ryan. Oh, sorry. I don't think you were actually sick. I think you just had the Colts flu. Conveniently Colts. Cough right there.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not.
Please.
Colts flu, my ass. Speaking of which, well, actually, we'll get to them in a second here, but going back to the Broncos.
Who suck.
They are playing the 49ers on Sunday Night Football, so if they suck, man, this is going to be bad for all of us. It's a must win and 1-1 for the Broncos.
Overreaction. It's not a must win. You got to have it.
Can't lose?
No, it's just like you got it. You have to have this game. I don't call it a must win because it's early on in the season. And like they do have a win on their resume. But with how bad this season has got off to for them, and I don't have high expectations when I made that clear all throughout the offseason, this is just a game that Nathaniel Hackett has to have. Because if he doesn't, he thinks the noise is bad now. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse.
Speaking of having to have it, the Colts are 0-1-1. They're taking the Chiefs this Sunday.
Man, I feel bad for you, by the way. I feel really bad that your Colts aren't doing well this year.
I know you do. Thank you, Zach. It means a lot. Overreaction.
Speaking good thoughts out there.
Or proper reaction. Frank Reich should be fired if the Colts lose on Sunday.
Proper reaction. He should have been fired last week. You go back to the scene of the crime where your team got embarrassed last year and missed the playoffs, and you bring in a new quarterback, and you can't even score a point? You couldn't even get a field goal? A safety? Anything? Nothing. Now, I expect them to lose going away this week up against Kansas City. I would have moved on last week. So if he loses again this week, no reason to keep around the dead weight and keep on pulling around for all this time.
And finally, the Chiefs so far have seemed to really not lose a beat. without Tyreek Hill. So proper reaction or overreaction, this Chiefs offense is harder to defend without Tyreek Hill.
That's an overreaction. Now, Mahomes is forced to spread the ball out more and use more weapons, but there's that lethal speed of the Cheetah, and then you complement by having Travis Kelce on that team as well. If they were still together, I still kind of look at that as more of a lethal team and harder to defend. But now you just don't know where the ball is going. But I think the speed is just so tough to guard Tyreek Hill. You don't see many coaches slow down Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, year in and year out, just keeps on dominating and dominating in the NFL. This is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we come on back, number five, Donovan McNabb makes his triumphant return to the Zach Gilb Show. We'll talk Eagles Commanders. We'll preview this game coming up tonight. We'll also get into a little Tua Tagovailoa. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL? We'll do all that when we come on back in 5 minutes with number five, Donovan McNabb.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Michael Phelps.
You know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt, and that's why I started to seek help, and that's when I checked myself into a treatment center.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families, The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.